Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is things aren't always what they seem. My guest will be talking about how things are different than the way we imagine them. My first guest is a management consultant who shows us how to combat the giant businesses in our industry. We'll discuss his 10 strategies to topple the Goliath in our industry from his book, Killing Giants. My second guest is a journalist and media watcher. He grew up in the media generation and has a unique perspective on how the media brainwashes us. He'll explain all his findings from his book, Primetime Propaganda. My third guest is a financial guru who will recap the second quarter of 2011 in the financial markets for us. We'll look ahead to the second half of the year to see what's in store financially. And as always, if you want to ask a question of my guests or if you want to speak to them, you can always call at 639-0008. Stephen Denny is a competitive strategy and marketing consultant helping brands in technology, consumer products, clean energy, and services define their competitive positioning, their communication strategy, and implementation plans in their market. He's the author of Killing Giants, 10 Strategies to Topple the Goliath in Your Industry. Apart from writing and consulting, Denny is also a frequent speaker in competitive strategy and marketing. Prior to consulting, he was a 20-year senior marketing executive, having managed the people, strategy, and budgets with brands in technology companies such as Sony, OnStar, iOmega, and Plantronics. He holds multiple patents. He lives and worked in both the United States and Japan, and he has an MBA from the Wharton School. Joining us from just south of Santa Cruz, how are you doing today, Steve?
Bill, I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing great, and thank you so much for being our special guest.
My pleasure.
Love your book because so many of us face a dominant player in the industry, and I mean that goes for radio that I'm in, and sure, anybody listening to the sound of our voice knows that there's a big dog out there, and we all like the story of the underdog who defeats the incumbent, you know, the David versus the Goliath thing. That you write that upstart brands can, in fact, beat incumbent brands that are out there. And you tap into that desire to be a hero, to be a giant killer. So what evidence is there that an upstart can gain a foothold in an established industry?
Oh, the examples and the evidence is all around us, isn't it? I mean, dating back, you just mentioned this point. It's a favorite touchstone of mine when I go down this path and talk about killing giants. That this is an absolutely universal story. We all come from cultures where this hero myth is alive and well. And it's truly not just the entrepreneur's story, but it's a story of business. We're all tasked with doing more with less, particularly right now.
Sure.
So anything we can do that sort of puts these stories in front of motivated business people, and I'm sure your listeners are all motivated business people, that gives them an idea, gives them that spark of inspiration that says, you know, here's a couple of brands, here's a couple of stories that have done this, that have actually outmaneuvered the Goliath, the giant that they face, and here's the learnings that you can take from their stories. I think that's time well spent, and really for any student of business, this is important stuff to thoughtfully consider and decide what really works for you and what may not.
Well, absolutely, and without a doubt, it's important, Steve. What I like about it is you come at it from the perspective of being a coach. I mean, much of what you write about in Killing Giants is truly psychology. There's really nothing more than that.
Quite a lot of it. I mean, we are talking about a battle of perception.
Right.
taking advantage of structural shifts in society, in consumer marketplace, and you know, so much of this comes down to perception.
And that's really the key. You help us to look at what is the current perception and maybe find the blind spot in the giant's vision that you can take advantage of. So how do we exercise our strategic thinking to find those blind spots that the giant might be overlooking that we can tap into?
Well, first things first. You know, I had an interesting conversation a couple of months back with a very successful serial entrepreneur up here in Silicon Valley, close to where I am. He made a very interesting observation. He said, every time we've gone down this path, we meaning, you know, the entrepreneurial founding team, we've never looked at the giant incumbent as the problem. We've never looked at them as the competition. You know, startups usually fail because of internal problems, not external forces.
Right.
And he said giants would rather die than change. and this was a wonderful quote because I think it captured this point very well. You know, giant companies, give them credit for a moment. You don't get to be a giant by being stupid, by being foolish. A lot of people have bought your stuff for a long period of time. But as a company evolves, its problems change, its reward structures change. And as such, where once you were an artisan, you now become a supply chain. Now you are rewarding different behaviors. Scale is one of the big challenges of a small company.
Right.
So let's give them credit for transitioning from here to there. But along with that comes this structural shift in thinking. Now, it's not enough to be a wonderful craftsman at producing whatever it is you're producing. Now it's a question of getting product built quickly. And then internally, we see this shift saying that we can't possibly be doing this wrong. We've been doing this successfully for so long. How could we stop and say, you know what, we're incorrect? And the moment the giant buys into that thought that says we're obviously doing things right, that industry becomes ripe for reinvention.
All right. Well, now that's interesting. My guest is Stephen Denny, author of the book Killing Giants, 10 Strategies to Topple the Goliath in Your Industry. It's interesting that you should say that. First of all, you were talking to a serial entrepreneur, so that is so cool in and of itself. And you don't have to kill the giant in the industry. That shouldn't be your foremost goal. But Seth Godin has come on the show, and he's talked about it in the past, that you want to do things fast. You don't necessarily want to do things right. You just want to do a lot of things fast and then sort of see what sticks. Is that a good strategy for an upstart business who's moving into an industry with an established giant?
I think so. I've got lots of respect for Seth Godin. I've been a great fan of his for a long time. I think the key here in the way I often work with small companies, whether they're startups, whether they're, you know, long-time existing ones, is to say it's critically important that we do smart things. Let's do smart things quickly. They may not be the right things long-term, but it's important to get the road moving underneath our wheels.
All right, now let's drill down on that for just a minute, because that is an interesting point, Steve. Do smart things quickly. They may not be the right thing in the long term. So how do you know if you're going down a rabbit trail? I mean, you might be doing something smart, and it might be the right thing today, but long term it may not be in the best interest of your company. And let me give you a for instance. Let's say you have incentives to your supply chain to get your brand new product into the supply chain, into the stream, as it were, and you have to deeply discount that, almost to the point of running a loss on every single thing that you're out there. Smart thing to do in the long term, not a good thing to do short term, not a good thing to do in the long term.
Well, you know, again, deeply discounting is a business question fraught with danger, and it's hard for me to quickly grab a hold of that and say whether it's good or bad. It's a very highly dependent on the circumstances in your business. The second chapter in Killing Giants is called speed.
Right.
And truthfully, I thought this would be a bit of a no-brainer, because any time the conversation, you know, begins about how small companies compete against big ones, the default answer is, they're obviously much faster. And to me, one of the interesting takeaways from doing the research behind Killing Giants was that this became a highly complex, nuanced chapter. No one talks about how to be faster. And once I got into that with a number of pretty interesting people, from Intuit to a very well-known Silicon Valley entrepreneur, to Scott Brown, a senator from Massachusetts.
He's been a guest on the show, too, by the way, Steve.
Great. So, you know, different ways of how speed has been employed, speed of decision-making, for example.
Mm.
Intuit talked a lot about ending the internal debate, bringing facts to the table as quickly as possible, bringing evidence to the table and making educated opinions, and then rapidly aligning and executing. That's something that small companies, by virtue of their structures and by virtue of the lack of machinery around them, can do usually better than larger companies can. So when we talk about do smart things quickly, this is a cultural shift. Doesn't require retooling your entire management team, doesn't have any impact on how your factories or how your engineering department is set up. You can simply make the acknowledgement that we're going to make a fact, not feelings, culture happen quickly. We're going to bring facts to the table, bring our evidence in, and we're going to make decisions faster. And by doing that, we're going to get better information quicker. We're going to get faster feedback from the market, and from there, we're going to know what works and what doesn't.
All right. My guest is Stephen Denny. And Stephen, let's use an example right there from Silicon Valley, close to where you live. And I'm going to use Apple Computer, take you all the way back to the 1980s, right around 1982, 83. When they were on top of the world, they had the Apple II. It was really the first home computer for personal use. And they had a Skunk Works going on for the Macintosh, where they took technology from Xerox PARC and they sort of really commercialized it for the media. How is that a good example of do smart things quickly? And how did Apple segment themselves in order to get the market, Macintosh, on the market?
Well, here's what you said, a magical word called Skunk Works. Here's the ability to make smart, calculated bets on possible future returns. Smart companies very often will go down this path of making a number of calculated bets. They'll do this with limited resources, knowing that none of them are going to sink the company. And when those tests look positive, they can quickly scale them up. Those that don't work out as well, you can just go ahead and snip those off and keep moving. So again, it comes down to a management culture, and this is something that any entrepreneur, any small business person can apply in very short order. Make the decision that we're going to make smaller bets, we're going to make quick decisions, we're going to look for those opportunities that are making the most sense, we're going to scale the ones up that work.
All right,
that's something that very often, you know, larger companies don't often do this well. Very often, large companies, it's an old chestnut, an old saying that in big companies, executives, build their careers on saying no to risky things.
Now, that's true. That's a good observation. My guest is Stephen Denny. We're talking about his book, Killing Giants, 10 Strategies That Topple the Goliath in Your Industry. And, Steve, one of the things, I love some of the titles of your chapters. One of them caught my attention, and I want you to explain this because this is critical to one of the 10 strategies that you have. The title of the chapter is called Eat the Bug. What do you mean by that?
Everyone loves Eat the Bug. Eat the Bug talks about doing the impossible, doing the taboo. As giant companies grow up, they do grow into habits, and they have cultural decisions of their own. And certain things become absolutely impossible for them to comprehend. One of my favorite companies in the book, truly, is Vibram, makers of the Five Fingers running shoe. You've probably seen these. You've probably looked askance at them before once or twice.
Sure, sure.
There is something of a cross between a scuba boot and a glove that you wear on your feet. And they've got little five, fingers for your toes. And as a result, they look a little bit different. But there's a growing body of evidence that discusses the benefits of barefoot running, the health benefits and everything else. I own a pair myself, and I'll tell you, they're wonderfully comfortable. That being said, they've got largely a really open road in front of them because it's the antithesis. This product design is the absolute antithesis of everything the running shoe industry has grown up to be. These great, big, designed, foot-mounted shock absorbers that billions of dollars of advertising and R&D have gone into convincing us of the right ways to do this. And the fact of the matter is, it would be virtually impossible for any of those large incumbents, those multi-billion dollar brands, to turn around and say, hang on, all these years we've been lying. Vibram gives us a great example of an eat-the-bug strategy, doing something that the giant simply can't do. And I think any of us can really take that idea and run with it. Say, okay, we're competing in an industry dominated by a number of big brands. They've got certain assumptions that define who they are. What are those blind spots? What are those things they could never bring themselves to do? And can we, in fact, live and thrive in those gaps?
It takes creative, strategic thinking to do that. My guest is Steve Denny. He's the author of the book, Killing Giants. Steve, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Killing Giants?
Well, hopefully it's going to give them those one or two ideas that make a measurable impact to their business. That truly is it. I've profiled 33 different brands, over 70 interviews with really some of the world's most effective business people, I guess I can call them that.
Sure.
And these are interviews from Silicon Valley to the townships of South Africa to New Zealand, China, Japan, North America, Western Europe, you name it. And I did my best to sort of get outside of the typical stories that we hear and bring in some stories that may, you know, allow us to borrow a little bit of knowledge from a different culture, a different industry than the one that we're in. You know, inspiration so often comes from elsewhere. And if you can look into a consumer packaged goods brand and extract a lesson for your software company, or listen to Bob Parsons at GoDaddy or Robin Lee from Baidu talk about how they've done what they've done and apply it to your retail chain, I think that's, you know, I mean, to me as an author, as a consultant, that's my desire for a reader. I hope they can quickly find a lesson or two that really resonates. And truly, I've done my best to get out of the way. I've done my best to let them tell their own stories.
And you do a fine job of that, Steve. There's no doubt about it. We're going to have you back in the future to talk about Baidu, one of my absolute favorite companies. We're out of time, unfortunately. But, Steve, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can certainly come visit me on the Internet. I'm at stephendenny.com. You can also find me through killinggiants.com. And for those listeners who are interested in the book, I'm happy to say it's available just about anywhere you buy your book.
Steve, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.